Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma stuff for me to take, and it did absolutely nothing to help with slow healing or bring my diabetes down. My friend Patrick recommended the products found at yourdiyhealth.com here on EFR, and I have tried them. And my sugar level is down, my energy level is up, and my body is getting the natural ingredients it needs for self-healing. I am quite pleased at the results. You can contact Jim Ram at yourdiyhealth.com. That's yourdiyhealth.com. And their toll-free order number is 855-809-6864. That's 855-809-6864. I am quite happy with their products, and I'll just leave it at that. Praise Yahweh. See you later.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Yes. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 25th of May, 2018. We're in the book of Sirach. In the Apocrypha, we will be beginning in chapter 39 today, but before we do, I'd like to give my website information. It is not an interactive site. You can't troll there, so that lets me have a little bit of freedom, and it's for download and listening. It's www.pastor-steve.com, and it's a nice little site. It's very user friendly, very easy to use. I like it like that. Not a lot of complicated stuff going on there. So let's get into the book of Sirach here, beginning in chapter 39, verse 1. The subsection here is called The Activity of the Scribe. How different the one who devotes himself to the study of the law of the Most High. He seeks out the wisdom of all the ancients and is concerned with prophecies. Verse 2. He preserves the sayings of the famous and penetrates the subtleties of parables. Verse 3. He seeks out the hidden meanings of proverbs and is at home with the obscurities of parables. That's some pretty profound stuff right there. Verse 4, he serves among the great and appears before rulers. He travels in foreign lands and learns what is good and evil in the human lot. Verse 5, he sets his heart to rise early to seek Yahweh who made him and to petition the Most High. He opens his mouth in prayer and asks pardon for his sins. Now, they have the Lord in here because they've anglicized everything, and that's just what they put in there. It's in error. So wherever they have the Lord, I know that it's Yahweh, and I'm going to say the name of Yahweh. I'm not going to delete the holy name like they've done. So that's the only real difference. In what I'm reading and what the text actually says. Verse 6. If the great Lord is willing. Now, right there, that's not Yahweh. That would be Master, okay? The great Master, that's the connotation that is implying. If the great Lord is willing, he will be filled with the spirit of understanding. He will pour forth words of wisdom of his own and give thanks to Yahweh in prayer. Verse 7. Yahweh will direct his counsel and knowledge as he meditates on his mysteries. There's a lot of stuff that is not revealed. They are called the mysteries of Yahweh. And over time, if you study enough, you'll have some of them revealed to you, which is a wonderful thing. But only when he's ready, okay? Verse 8, he will show the wisdom of what he has learned and will glory in the law of Yahweh's covenant. Verse 9, many will praise his understanding. It will never be blotted out. His memory will not disappear, and his name will live through all generations. Verse 10. Nations will speak of his wisdom, and the congregation will proclaim his praise. Verse 11. If he lives long, he will leave a name greater than 1,000. And if he goes to rest, it is enough for him. But enough that he has done the work. You know, that's the thing. And they say right in here, if he goes to rest. Everybody thinks when you die, you go immediately to heaven. Well, no. You read the scriptures, it says that you will sleep until the resurrection. Okay? They put in a lot of churchy doctrine a lot of times, and it is not accurate. That's the problem. They tend to insert things, okay? That's the problem. Their insertions. If they would just have the scripture as it's written and quit playing with it, they would have saved me a lot of work. I've taken the entire Old Testament and removed all their tamperings and taken it back to original text. And you talk about a beast of a job. That was something. Years and years and years and years and years of work. Here's the next subsection. This is a hymn of praise to Elohim. They have God, but I don't like to use the term God. That's a pagan term. Verse 12. I have more on my mind to express. I am full like the full moon. Verse 13. Listen to me, my faithful children, and blossom like a rose growing by a stream of water. Verse 14. Send out fragrance like incense and put forth blossoms like a lily. Scatter the fragrance and sing a hymn of praise. Bless Yahweh for all his works. Verse 15. Ascribe majesty to his name and give thanks to him with praise, with songs on your lips and with harps. This is what you shall say in thanksgiving. Verse 16. All the works of Yahweh are very good, and whatever he commands will be done at the appointed time. Verse 17. No one can say, what is this, or why is that? For at the appointed time all such questions will be answered. At his word, the waters stood in a heap, and the reservoirs of water at the word of his mouth. Okay, remember when they crossed the river? And the water stopped and crossed the Sea of Reeds, and the water stopped? It happened twice, not just once. Twice, and they walked over on dry ground. Because when they reached the Jordan, it was in flood stage and would have washed them away. And he stopped the whole thing, just boom. It piled up in a heap. Marvelous. Verse 18. When he commands, his every purpose is fulfilled, and none can limit his saving power. Verse 19. The works of all are before him, and nothing can be hidden from his eyes. Verse 20. From the beginning to the end of time, he can see everything, and nothing is too marvelous for him. Verse 21. No one can say, what is this, or why is that? For everything has been created for its own purpose. Verse 22. His blessing covers the dry land like a river and drenches it like a flood. Verse 23. But his wrath drives out the nations as when he turned a watered land into salt. Verse 24. To the faithful, his ways are straight, but full of pitfalls for the wicked. Verse 25. From the beginning, good things were created for the good, but for sinners, good things and bad. Verse 26. The basic necessities of human life are water and fire and iron and salt and wheat flour and milk and honey, the blood of the grape and oil and clothing. Verse 27. All these are good for the godly, but for sinners, they turn into evil. That's profound. Verse 28. There are winds created for vengeance, and in their anger they can dislodge mountains. Now that's the Hebrew. In the Greek it says it can scourge mightily. Either is true. Continuing verse 28. On the day of reckoning they will pour out their strength and calm the anger of their maker. Verse 29. Fire and hail and famine and pestilence. All these have been created for vengeance. Verse 30. The fangs of wild animals and scorpions and vipers, and the sword that punishes the ungodly with destruction. Verse 31. They take delight in doing his bidding, always ready for his service on earth. And when their time comes, they never disobey his command. Verse 32. So, from the beginning I have been convinced of all this and have thought it out and left it in writing. Verse 33. All the works of Yahweh are good, and he will supply every need in its time. Verse 34. No one can say, this is not as good as that, for everything proves good in its appointed time. Verse 35. So now, sing praise with all your heart and voice, and bless the name of Yahweh. That ends chapter 39. Boy, that is some heavy-duty stuff right there. It really is. I don't know why a lot of the Bibles have cut out the Apocrypha. This is definitely wisdom literature. I mean, what can you say? It's very, very profound. Now, here we are in chapter 40, and the first subsection of chapter 40 is entitled Human Wretchedness. Let me get a little drink of this distilled water here. Verse 1 of chapter 40. Hard work was created for everyone, and a heavy yoke is laid on the children of Adam. It actually says that in here. They use the word Adam with a capital A. From the day they come forth from their mother's womb until the day they return to the mother of all living. In the Greek it says the mother of all. The womb of the earth. Okay? That's poetic. They're not deifying the earth. You know, it's not Mother Gaia. it's a poetic phraseology. Verse 2. Perplexities and fear of heart are theirs, an anxious thought of the day of their death. Verse 3. From the one who sits on a splendid throne to the one who grovels in dust and ashes. In other words, everybody. Verse 4. From the one who wears purple and a crown to the one who is clothed in burlap. Verse 5. There is anger and envy and trouble and unrest and fear of death and fury and strife. And when one rests upon his bed, His sleep at night confuses his mind. Verse 6. He gets little or no rest. He struggles in his sleep as he did by day. He is troubled by the visions of his mind, like one who has escaped from the battlefield. Verse 7. At the moment he reaches safety, he wakes up, astonished that his fears were groundless. Waking out of a bad dream? Oh, man, it was just a dream. Ugh. That's happened to everybody, I'm sure. Verse 8. To all creatures, human and animal, but to sinners seven times more. Verse 9. Come death and bloodshed and strife and sword, calamities and famine and ruin and plague. Verse 10. All these were created for the wicked, and on their account the flood came. That's the time of Noah to wipe them out. Verse 11. All that is of earth returns to earth, and what is from above returns above. Are you born from above? As Yeshua said, not born again, born from above. Here's another little subsection. Injustice will not prosper. Verse 12 of chapter 40. All bribery and injustice will be blotted out, but good faith will last forever. Verse 13. The wealth of the unjust will dry up like a river and crash like a loud clap of thunder in a storm. Verse 14. As a generous person has cause to rejoice, so lawbreakers will utterly fail. Verse 15. The children of the ungodly put out few branches. They are unhealthy roots on sheer rock. They won't take root. Verse 16. The reeds by any water or riverbank are plucked up before any grass. Verse 17. In other words, when the river floods, it'll wash the reeds away because they're bigger. Okay. Verse 17. But kindness is like a garden of blessings, and almsgiving endures forever. And here's another subsection. It's called the joys of life. Verse 18. Wealth and wages make life sweet. But better than either is finding a treasure. Verse 19. Children and the building of a city establishes one's name. Okay? They used to name the cities after themselves. But better than either is the one who finds wisdom. Cattle and orchards make one prosperous, but a blameless wife is accounted better than either. A good woman will make a man. She'll back him up and take care of his business and look after him. Man. Verse 20. Wine and music gladden the heart, but the love of friends is better than either. verse 21. The flute and the harp make sweet melody, but a pleasant voice is better than either. Verse 22. The eye desires grace and beauty, but the green shoots of grain more than either. In other words, you love to see your crops come up. Got to have a good year. Verse 23 of chapter 40. A friend or companion is always welcome, but a sensible wife is better than either. Oh, boy. Verse 24. Kindred and helpers are for a time of trouble, but almsgiving rescues better than either. Verse 25. Gold and silver makes one stand firm, but good counsel is esteemed more than either. Verse 26. Riches and strength build up confidence, but the fear of Yahweh is better than either. There is no want in the fear of Yahweh, and with it there is no need to seek for help. Think on that one. Verse 27, the fear of Yahweh is like a garden of blessing and covers a person better than any glory. And here's the last subsection of chapter 40. The disgrace of begging. Verse 28, my child, do not lead the life of a beggar. It is better to die than to beg. Verse 29. When one looks to the table of another, one's way of life cannot be considered a life. One loses self-respect with another person's food. But one who is intelligent and well-instructed guards against that. Verse 30. In the mouth of the shameless, begging is sweet, but it kindles a fire inside him. See a lot of these people out here today with absolutely no shame. Gimme, 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 gimme. Okay. Now we start chapter 41 of the book of Sirach. And the first subsection of chapter 41 is concerning death. Verse 1. O death, how bitter is the thought of you to the one at peace among possessions, who has nothing to worry about and is prosperous in everything, and still is vigorous enough to enjoy food. Verse 2. O death, how welcome is your sentence to one who is needy and failing in strength, worn down by age and anxious about everything, to one who is contrary and has lost all patience. Verse 3. Do not fear death's decree for you. Remember those who went before you and those who will come after. Verse 4. This is Yahweh's decree for all flesh. Why then should you reject the will of the Most High? whether life lasts for 10 years or 100 or 1,000, there are no questions asked in Hades. Okay, now in the Hebrew it would be Sheol, because Hades and Sheol are the same. They try to make Hades hell. No, it's the land of the dead and its inhabitants. Okay, this was written originally in Hebrew. They put Hades in here from the Greek. Okay, that was from Greek paganism. Here's the next subsection in chapter 41, the fate of the wicked. Verse 5. The children of sinners are abominable children, and they frequent the haunts of the ungodly. Verse 6. The inheritance of the children of sinners will perish, and on their offspring will be a perpetual disgrace. Verse 7. Children will blame an ungodly father, for they suffer disgrace. They suffer disgrace because of him. His bad name translates to them, in other words. Yeah, I know who you are. You're the son of so-and-so, and he was no good. Whether they're no good or not, they're going to get tagged with his tag. So that's bad. Verse 8. Woe to you, the ungodly, who have forsaken the law of the Most High God. That would be El Elyon. Verse 9. If you have children, calamity will be theirs. You will beget them only for groaning. When you stumble, there is lasting joy, and when you die, a curse is your lot. So when the really bad people stumble, like when we see one of these rotten politicians get theirs, we're happy about it. Yeah, yeah, you deserve that, you piece of garbage. That's where that's leading to. Verse 10. Whatever comes from earth returns to earth. So the ungodly go from curse to destruction. Verse 11. The human body is a fleeting thing, but a virtuous name will never be blotted out. And in the Greek it says, people grieve over the death of the body, but the bad name of sinners will be blotted out. Now that's what it says in the Greek for that passage. But the Hebrew is different. So I read each, okay? Verse 12. Have regard for your name, since it will outlive you longer than 1,000 hoards of gold. In other words, how you live your life is people will remember you for how you were. Verse 13. The days of a good life are numbered, but a good name lasts forever. So you're only going to live so long, but your name will outlive you. Another little drink of water here. Verse 14. My children, be true to your training and be at peace. Hidden wisdom and unseen treasure, of what value is either? And here is the last subsection of chapter 41. A Series of Contrasts. That's the title of this. Verse 15. Better are those who hide their folly than those who hide their wisdom. Verse 16. Therefore, show respect for my words, for it is not good to feel shame in every circumstance, nor is every kind of abashment to be approved. And in the Greek it says, and not everything is confidently esteemed by everyone. Now listen to this. Verse 17. Be ashamed of sexual immorality before your father or mother, and of a lie before a prince or a ruler. Verse 18. Of a crime before a judge or magistrate, and of a breach of the law before the congregation and the people, of unjust dealings before your partner or your friend, verse 19, and of theft in the place where you live. Be ashamed of breaking an oath or agreement. And in the Greek it says, breaking an oath before the truth of God and the covenant, and of leaning on your elbow at meals, of surliness in receiving or giving. Verse 20, and of silence before those who greet you, of looking at a prostitute. What you should be ashamed of. Verse 21, and of rejecting the appeal of a relative, of taking away someone's portion or gift, and of gazing at another man's wife, of meddling with his, verse 22, of meddling with his servant girl, and do not approach her bed, of abusive words before friends, and do not be insulting after making a gift. Now that ends chapter 41, but this continues on into chapter 42, this series of contrasts subsection. It goes on into the next chapter. Verse 1. Pardon me, I gotta itch my ear. Oh man. Verse 42. I'm wearing headphones. If you gotta scratch your ear, it drives you crazy. Verse 1 of chapter 42. Be ashamed of repeating what you hear and of betraying secrets. Then you will show proper shame and will find favor with everyone. Mm-hmm. Of the following things, do not be ashamed and do not sin to save face. Now here's what you're not supposed to be ashamed of. Verse 2. Do not be ashamed of the law of the Most High and His covenant, and of rendering judgment to acquit the ungodly. Okay. If they're not guilty, they're not guilty. Okay? You can't, just because they're not good people doesn't mean they've done something. They're just not good people. Okay? But if they're accused of something and they didn't do it, be honest about it. Okay? That's a hard law to keep. Because some people you just don't like, okay? But you can't put something on them that they didn't do. That makes you a bad person, okay? Verse 3. Do not be ashamed of. And that goes all the way through this. Of keeping accounts with a partner or with traveling companions. In other words, you split up the expenses. You have to be honest with one another. And of dividing the inheritance of friends. In other words, if you've been called as a judge in a case, back when they used to ask you, well, would you be the executor of this estate? Okay, you have to do it honestly. And continuing on, verse 4, it would be, do not be ashamed of accuracy with scales and weights, and of acquiring much or little. Don't be ashamed of that if you do it honestly. Verse 5, a profit from dealing with merchants, and of frequent disciplining of children, and of drawing blood from the back of a wicked slave. If he's stealing from you, they used to beat him. Okay? Verse 6. Where there is an untrustworthy wife, a seal is a good thing. And where there are many hands, lock things up. Verse 7. When you make a deposit, be sure it is counted and weighed. And when you give or receive, put it all in writing. In other words, cover yourself up, man. You got to be careful. Verse 8. Do not be ashamed to correct the stupid or foolish or the aged who are guilty of sexual immorality. You know, dirty old men.
Hey there, honey.
Oh, shut up, Grandpa. Then you will show your sound training and will be approved by all. Now here's another subsection. This is daughters and fathers. Okay, this describes a relationship between daughters and fathers. Verse 9. A daughter is a secret anxiety to her father, and worry over her robs him of sleep. When she is young, for fear she may not marry, or if married, for fear she may be disliked. Verse 10. Oh, let me tell you. Verses 9 through 11, you can reference Sirach 7, verses 24 and 25, and Sirach 26, verses 10 through 12. Okay, verse 10. While a virgin, for fear she may be seduced and become pregnant in her father's house, or having a husband, for fear she may go astray, or though married, for fear she may be barren. Verse 11. Keep strict watch over a headstrong daughter, or she may make you a laughingstock to your enemies, a byword in the city and the assembly of the people, and put you to shame in public gatherings. See that there is no lattice in her room, no spot that overlooks the approaches to the house. In other words, Peeping Tom's looking through the lattice at her. Oh, man, what a babe, you know. Okay. Verse 12. Do not let her parade her beauty before any man, or spend her time among married women. That the meaning of the Greek is uncertain there. Well, spend her time among married women, because she'll learn bad stuff from some of the women, okay? This is what we do. Oh, yeah? Verse 13, for from garments comes the moth, and from a woman comes woman's wickedness. What did I just say to you? Because they talk, you listen to some of these women talk when they get in a group. It's nasty. You think guys get rough. Ha ha, man, some of these women have a mouth on them. I'd make a sailor blush. Woo! I can't believe that came out of your mouth, woman. Verse 14. Man, I've been in places, and I've had women just cuss a guy up and down, just tear him up. Ooh. Verse 14. Better is the wickedness of a man than a woman who does good. It is a woman who brings shame and disgrace. Ow! Well, this guy didn't have anything to say about it. Man. Now, here's another subsection of chapter 42. I'll be able to get 42 done. 43, I don't know. Now, 43 is pretty long, so I'll finish up chapter 42. I really don't think I have the time that's necessary to do 43, and I don't want to cut these off short. These are just so good. This last subsection is the works of God in nature. Okay? That's Yahweh. Verse 15. I will now call to mind the works of Yahweh and will declare what I have seen. By the word of Yahweh, his works are made, and all creatures do his will. Verse 16. The sun looks down on everything with his light, and the work of Yahweh is full of his glory. Verse 17. Yahweh is not empowered, even his holy ones, to recount all his marvelous works. Which Yahweh, the Almighty, has established so that the universe may stand firm in his glory. And the Almighty would be Shaddai in the Hebrew, okay? Verse 18. He searches out the abyss and the human heart. He understands their innermost secrets. For the Most High knows all that may be known. That would be Elyon. Okay, that's Most High in the Hebrew. He sees from of old the things that are to come. And in the Greek, it reads, he sees the signs of the age. Okay. Verse 19 of chapter 42. He discloses what has been and what is to be. And he reveals the traces of hidden things. Verse 20. No thought escapes him, and nothing is hidden from him. Verse 21. He has set in order the splendors of his wisdom. He is from all eternity one and the same. Nothing can be added or taken away, and he needs no one to be his counselor. What's it say in Scripture? Don't add to or take away from his word. And what have they done? They have added to his word their little doctrines of men. And they have taken away the holy name and a lot of his rules. So what do you think I have been doing all these years is restoring the holy name that they have taken out and taking out the stuff that's not in the scripture that they added from their church doctrine. That's why my translations are so popular, because it's the straight skinny. You're not getting all that extra claptrap that they put in or lack the holy name and the stuff that he had in there in his word that they took out to further their church agenda. I've got 20 years of work in that. So, and now I'm getting everything computerized. I've got the Old Testament done, pretty much, the Torah. And I'm working on the prophets right now. I'll probably have it done later this year. Because I've got it done, but I have to computerize it and print it out. That's a beast. Wow. Verse 22 of chapter 42. How desirable are all his works, and how sparkling they are to see. Verse 23. All these things live and remain forever. Each creature is preserved to meet a particular need. All right, in the Greek it has preserved forever for every need, and all are obedient. They have that in the Greek, okay? That's the two readings of that passage. Verse 24. All things come in pairs, one opposite the other, and he has made nothing incomplete. Verse 25, each supplements the virtues of the other. Who could ever tire of seeing his glory? That ends chapter 42. That'll end the reading for today. Might have a few little comments, parting comments here. We'll begin be beginning in chapter 43 on the next show. I really, truthfully, I love this section. Sirach has been a joy to read, really has, because just the sayings in here are so marvelous, so absolutely marvelous. This is like Proverbs and Psalms and stuff like that. The wisdom in here is astounding. Just, whew, man. I hope you are enjoying it as much as I have been enjoying reading it. A lot of people don't have the Apocrypha. They're online. You can go online and find them. I think everybody ought to have this stuff. And if you read through it, you'll find little things in here that'll benefit your life. It will make a difference. Little words of wisdom that'll pick you up when you're down. It's really beneficial. Well, I'm going to play the word-for-word outro music and then play a little song or so. Got about 3 minutes. It has been a great pleasure. And may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I'll catch you on the next show. Bye-bye.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
I'm not walking with the Lord like I used to. It's like temptation's got a hold of me. Then I cry at night, cause I ought to. And the praise to him I hold, I'm on my bended knee. From the road I chose to raise my family. And the more I learned forgiveness, the less I saw grief. And the more I watched his children in their eyes, I saw his light. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings. Thank you for the ride. Well, I want to walk with you. Take my hand, amen. Hold it tight. I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on the on, enjoy the ride. I did my time, I paid some heavy dues. And I often wonder why I did the things I do. For the Lord holds all the answers to my questions, come what may. We're gonna talk about him soon. Show me the way. Well, I wanna walk with you. Take my hand, amen. Hold it tight. I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride.